Today I've got several scriptures to review with you. Of course, I always try to read a lot of scripture, and I guess for young preachers or for those that may be called in the ministry, that what you're saying needs to be confirmed by the Word of God. And sometimes we see that lacking in sometimes TV evangelists. Sometimes they'll share one scripture and they'll preach for 20 or 30 minutes. And sometimes it's almost like they're using the Word of God to try to get the point across that they want to share. We need to make sure that everything that we share is backed up and confirmed by the Word of God. So what is important? Is it really important what I say, or is it really important what God says? And you know what? It's really important what God says. That needs to be the most important thing to all of us. The sermon title today is The Bride. And if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start off there today. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I meant to say Ephesians 5. So go to Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25, and we're going to read verse 25 through 32. So Ephesians 5, verse 25. Verse 25 says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, verse 27 again, I read it again. It says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The church is the espoused bride of Christ. And it shows the intimate relationship that we as believers, that we as a church should have in our relationship with Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And we as born-again believers make up the body of Christ. We make up the church. I want us today to go back in history to the Galilean wedding and see that wedding and that wedding announcement, what all took place, and how that refers to us in our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus, and not only that, but also the coming of the Lord Jesus. A wedding announcement was the biggest event in town at that time, and everyone rushed to the betrothal at the main gate. The groom would offer the bride what was called a cup of wine. For the engagement to progress, she would have to accept. This cup was called the cup of joy. The groom would state that he would not partake of this cup again until he would partake it together in my Father's house. Now turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. All of Jesus' disciples at this time were Galileans. And Jesus was known as a Galilean. The only one that wasn't a Galilean was Judas. So everything that we're talking about here in the scripture, they would have known perfectly what he was trying to share with them if only they were thinking about it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. So Matthew 26, verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you,'" now listen to his words, "'But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" The imagery that is shared with us in this scripture is beautiful. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive that cup of joy. We become a part of the espoused bride of Christ. In verse 29, when we read that again, and it says, "But I say to you, I want a drink of the fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Where will this be? Well, this will be in heaven. How many times have we read this scripture over and over and over and not really related to it, that when we partake of the of our relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are partaking of that cup of joy? And he's not going to partake of it again with us until we earn the kingdom of heaven. He's referring to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you turn with me to Revelations 19. Revelations 19. In Revelations 19, if you look at verse 6, Revelations 19 and verse 6. In Revelations chapter 19, verse 6, it says, "And I heard, and it were the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, as a sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready." That's you and me. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God." In our spiritual relationship, we belong to Christ and no one else, that we are espoused to him. In the Galilean proposal, the groom would leave the bride after they made that announcement. After he offered her a cup of wine, which was a cup of joy, and if she would accept that cup and partake of it, that was the announcement of their proposal. He would go to his father's house, and he would begin the job of preparing a place for his new wife. And if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. He says in John 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." That's what the groom says to you. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus warned his disciples that he would be leaving them. But as a groom leaves his bride, he would be preparing a place for them, but assured them that he would return for them. In the Galilean wedding, no one knew when the wedding was going to take place. No one knew today. No one knows today when Christ will return. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 says, "No one knows the day nor the hour, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He is the only one that knows the time that he's going to call his bride home. You being that bride. In the Galilean wedding, no one knew. The only one that knew was the Father of when this was going to take place. It was in the hands of the Father. No one knew when the wedding would take place. The groom was preparing a place. The bride was prepared for the announcement of when this surprise wedding would take place. And as that time got closer and closer and closer, the bride with her bridesmaids would be ready, and they would be in their arraignment for the wedding, because usually this would take place at night. So they would actually go to bed with their wedding clothes on, and they're waiting for the sound of the horn. In Matthew chapter 25, if you go with me there to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, Matthew 25 and verse 1. It gives us a picture of those that are ready and those that are not ready. He says in chapter 25, verse 1, he says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise ones took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they all slept." That's a picture of the church today that is slumbering and sleeping, not thinking this time is ever going to happen, that this time is ever going to take place. As at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us, you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, and the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The picture here is of those that are living in expectation of Christ's return and those that are not. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. In verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "But concerning the seasons, brethren, the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Just as in the wedding ceremony, no one knew when the bridegroom would return to take his bride. No one knows when Christ will take his church. As believers, we are to be living every day with the expectation that today is the day that the Lord is going to return. Amen. It should be no surprise to us. Not when we look at the headlines, and not when we look at the news clippings, and not when we listen to the world news and what's going on in this world today. It should be no surprise to this body of Christ that Jesus could return and take us home at any moment. And the more that we live in this world and the worse that we see things get in this world, it should even drive us closer in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, I have not even mentioned the word rapture here yet. But we're going to get to it in just a moment. We've been in ministry for years and years and years. And when I was a young minister, I preached that the coming of the Lord could be at any time. But I've never seen a time such as now that we live, that we are waiting for the Lord to take his bride home. The church is that bride. It should be no surprise to us when we look at verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and the sons of day. You're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of hope of salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, we encourage those who have loved ones that have gone, that are in the Lord's hands, and we encourage one another that are awake to stay awake, for the Lord is coming, that we need to be ready. In the Galilean wedding, the father would make the announcement to the groom, "Go get your bride." And there would be the blowing of the shofar horn, if I'm saying that right. I'd like to get one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But I did not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." And who is the scripture talking about? Those that have already passed away, those that are already dead, but they knew Jesus when they passed away. He says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." You see how Jesus refers to it always as a temporary state. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus.
For this we say to you, the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with what? The trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. No, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. Caught up. That's what the word means. To be tore out of this earth. No one knows the day nor the hour. But in the wedding ceremony, so many times it was at night when nobody was prepared. It makes us also think that in my own mind, not that it means anything, that some night you're going to go to bed, and when you wake up, you won't be on this earth no more. It happened in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord will descend with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we will rise. The bride of Christ will be caught up to meet her groom in the Galilean wedding. The bride, listen to this, the bride would be carried to meet the groom. We as believers will be caught up together in this. Is this the only place that is talked about in the Bible? And the word is absolutely no. This is not the only place. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. In chapter 15 and verse 50. So go all the way over to verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Can't go like you are. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all what? We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The trumpet of God shall sound. The bride of Christ will be caught up to meet her groom. In the Galilean wedding, the bride would be carried to meet her. We will be carried away from this earth to meet our Lord and our Savior in the sky. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talked about those that have fallen asleep. In verse 51, it talks about those that have fallen asleep. Not all who sleep. Meaning those who have passed away. Those who have passed away. Those who are still alive at the return of Christ will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I had a note that I wanted to read to you that one out of every 30 verses in the Bible mentions the subject of Christ's return at the end of time. Of the 216 chapters in the New Testament, there are well over 300 references to the return of Jesus Christ. Only 4 of the 27 New Testament books fail to mention Christ's return. That means 1/20 of the entire New Testament is dedicated to the subject of the Lord's return. There's only one reason that Satan would not want us to know this truth, is so you will not be ready. Is so the church is not ready. So many churches, that they've quit teaching it. It's like they don't even know if it really exists or really it's going to happen. The scripture shows us over and over, time and time again, that this is the truth of God's word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll go back there one more time before I close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. And verse 9 says this, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation period is known as a time of wrath. You are not appointed for that. You're not appointed for the day of wrath, the great tribulation, because each and every one of you have a marriage to attend. And it's your own. Think about that just for a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. As the bride of Christ, we're going to be caught away to meet our groom in the sky for the marriage supper of the Lamb. The question is are you ready? Are you ready?
Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for your word. We pray that, Father, you would bless it to our hearts and to our lives. That we know that truly indeed that we are the bride of Christ. That we are espoused to Jesus. That he is our groom. And we're looking forward to that wedding that we're all going to take part in. We rejoice in that. Be with us today as we go our separate ways. And we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.